This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Welcome to Campus Voices, where each week we look at some key issues that affect UK students, the UK campus, and the Lexington community. Campus Voices is created by Journalism 304 students with the help of the journalism faculty. Please send any questions to news@wrfl.fm. Welcome to Campus Voices. I'm your host, Michael Ayers. Please be advised that this broadcast may not be suitable for individuals suffering from traumatic symptoms. Today, we're addressing issues of sexual assault on college campuses. The reality of sexual assault, specifically on college campuses, is an ugly truth. The Bureau of Justice reports that an average of 21% of undergraduate female students experience assault at some point during their collegiate experience. The Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network, otherwise known as RAIN, is the nation's largest anti-sexual violence organization and reports that 61.9% of victims are assaulted by their intimate partner. Over 89% of victims know their assaultant before the incident. The Washington Post reports that social pressures can lead to underreporting. Under 5% of assaults on college campuses are reported to officials. Issues of sexual assault have become a hot topic between the suggestive Access Hollywood audio from President Trump, other political figures called out and guilty of assault, the hashtag MeToo campaign, and just this morning, Today host Matt Lauer was fired after allegations of sexual assault. Reporter Aaron Sparks spoke to UK's interim Title IX coordinator, Martha Alexander, and reports that university responds in a number of ways if someone makes a complaint to the Title IX office. Here's Aaron Sparks.
According to the U.S. Department of Justice, under 5% of sexual assault cases on college campuses are reported to officials. UK's interim Title IX coordinator, Martha Alexander, explains that the decisions are in the hands of the victim.
I think the number one thing that students need to know is that our process is complainant-driven. So what that means is that students and anyone who has suffered from any sort of interpersonal violence or discrimination or harassment know what's best for them to recover from that. So what our process, what complainant-driven means is that the person who is the complainant gets to decide what we're doing. So unless there is a threat to university safety, the complainant gets to decide whether they want to do an informal process where they can get the help that they need to be successful as a student, or if they want to go through a formal process that could lead to a disciplinary hearing.
Students planning to report should recognize that some campus resources are not available for confidential reporting. For WRFL-FM, I'm Aaron Sparks.
Today we are joined by two guests. First guest is Kelsey Rutherford. Could you go ahead and introduce yourself, please?
Hi, I am Kelsey Rutherford, and I am a research coordinator here on campus. My primary responsibility is that of the Connect Ed trial.
Awesome. And we also have Zoe DePore. And Zoe, could you go ahead and introduce yourself?
I'm a junior, and I'm a biology major with a minor in gender and women's studies. I'm also the outreach coordinator for the UK Feminist Alliance.
Awesome. Thanks. Just this September, the Department of Education officially recited the Obama's administration guidelines for universities to handle sexual assault cases on campus. The guidelines allowed universities to accept the lowest standard of violence and attempt to encourage survivors to report their cases. Since then, many have scrutinized Education Secretary Betsy DeVos and her decision and have wondered what college campuses are doing on their own to stop the epidemic. Kelsey, it's a confusing situation. How difficult is it to explain to students, let alone a survivor of assault? Could you just talk a little bit about, like, Betsy DeVos and the secretary and like her decision and what she made. It's kind of confusing overall.
Yes, it's definitely confusing overall, but every campus across the nation, and especially here at UK, we are taking our own measures in order to combat what is happening here on our campus.
Great. And can you tell us more about Connect Ed's effort and how it began here at UK?
So the primary investigators for this study are Ann Coker and Heather Bush, and they participated in what's called Green Dot Across the Bluegrass, where they use Green Dot across multiple high schools in the state, and they evaluated what the outcomes of that and how well it worked. And so Connect Ed is a new approach, a new training type, in order to see if this training is a little bit better than what was previously seen in Green Dot.
Awesome. UK has continued to require students to learn how to reduce violence and substance abuse. Zoe, because of your work with the Feminist Alliance and Take Back the Night, you probably are better informed than the average student. Do you think students know about this issue?
I think it's become an incredibly prominent issue on campus, especially with the work being put on by the VIP Center and events like Take Back the Night. Also, I can speak personally as to the Feminist Alliance doing a demonstration last semester in which we tied a piece of red string to represent every individual who would be assaulted during their college career and strung those up between lampposts in front of Whitehall to try and raise awareness of this issue.
And how is Connect Ed different than other initiatives to stop sexual abuse on college campus?
So Connect Ed is a little different because we really take into account the role that alcohol and substance use plays in sexual assault. So we specifically are educating students, you know, how to make sure that they are safe, how to make sure that their friends stay safe, and combating the rape myth acceptances of, because I was intoxicated, it is my fault, and that is not the case at all.
And what does a normal Connect Ed look like?
So a normal Connect Ed training is very much peer-based, whereas other trainings are sort of the same thing that you see in a classroom, a lecture, and you listen, and that's sort of about it. But a Connect Ed training is done by peers, so other UK students are teaching incoming freshman students about this topic and about the training. And so it's very much more conversation-based, and it's done in small groups, so I think that allows students to ask questions that they wouldn't want to ask an adult or wouldn't want to ask a university person because they're afraid that they might get in trouble or something along those lines. And a big thing that UK does that's a little different is, or that Connect Ed does that is different, is that it trains students before they come to campus, which is super important because there's a lot of literature out there about the red zone, which is the first few months of that a student is on a college campus, they are most likely to be affected by sexual assault. So we train before they come to campus in hopes that these ideas can be placed in their head beforehand so they don't have to experience a problem in this red zone area.
And you mentioned a little bit about alcohol. How much of a factor is that in the discussions with students?
In the Connect Ed trainings?
Yeah.
That is one big thing about Connect Ed. Everything is sort of centered around that. Every conversation, every idea of how can I intervene in this situation, how can I intervene in that situation, it takes into account that alcohol and substances are being used in this situation and how that will affect the way that the person is acting, how that will affect the victim, how that will affect the accuser, that sort of thing.
And would you say if we put stricter alcohol policies on campus, there would be less sexual assault incidents?
No, I don't think that would, because students, and we talk about this in training, at the end of the day, I'm not here to tell you that you can't drink. That's not my priority through this training. But because what I can tell you is how to help your friends, how to help yourself, how to make sure this sort of thing isn't happening. That's the goal overall of Connect Ed.
Awesome. Thanks, Kelsey. Sexual assault has been in the news consistently for quite some time now. Worldwide attention has been drawn to the issue following dozens of allegations of high-profile sexual assault situations. Donald Trump's Access Hollywood tapes, Harvey Weinstein, George H.W. Bush, and just as of earlier today, the termination of Matt Lauer from NBC. And amidst the dozens of allegations, the hashtag MeToo campaign has allowed women to share their similar experiences of sexual assault across Twitter and Facebook. WRFL reporter Aaron Sparks spoke to UK senior Julia Scott.
Just last month, women around the world took over popular social media sites like Twitter and Facebook with their hashtag MeToo stories of sexual assault. UK social work senior Julia Scott says she thought the campaign was a powerful reminder.
Yeah, I have heard about the MeToo campaign. I've seen it a lot on Twitter. It drew a lot of attention to sexual assault and has shown that it's a lot larger of a problem than most people thought.
But the attention itself isn't enough. Sexual assault stories emerging everywhere have people wondering what institutions like UK are doing to prevent and support.
I think UK does provide pretty good resources. We have the VIP Center. And then also this week, Ashley Judd is coming to speak to students about sexual assault.
UK's College of Social Work will host Ashley Judd on campus this Friday at the Singletary Center. The lecture will begin at 2 p.m. For WRFL-FM, I'm Aaron Sparks.
For those of you that do not know, actress Ashley Judd is a native Kentuckian. She's one of more than 60 women who came forward to accuse producer Harvey Weinstein of sexual assault and abuse. Judd is a graduate also of UK. We welcome again the research coordinator for UK's Connect Ed, Kelsey Ruthford, and the member of UK's Feminist Alliance and participant Take Back the Night, Zoe DePore. Julia mentioned the VIP Center here on UK-sponsored lectures. What impact does hearing from someone like Ashley Judd have on these students?
I think that hearing that anyone can be affected by sexual violence and sexual harassment makes students feel significantly less alienated because it is an incredibly alienating experience because it's power-based violence. It makes you feel vulnerable and afraid, like you're the only person in the world who's dealing with this and you don't have anywhere to go. And by having such high-profile people say that they've experienced this too, it empowers those who've also experienced violence and harassment.
Kelsey, anything to add?
That was awesome.
Okay. Thank you.
That's great. The University of Kentucky Police Department reported a total of 4 forcible rapes on campus last year, which is an increase from the 3 from last year, and the highest it has been in the last 10 years. All sexual assault cases, including misconduct and other assault charges, have stayed on a consistent rate. Just about every organization and researcher who studies the issue says sexual assault is underreported. In this question's open floor, do you have any idea what the real numbers are at UK?
I think that there's no real way of knowing the complete real number. We have things like CATS that seek to find it. We have things like ConnectEd that seek to find it. But there's always going to be someone that feels uncomfortable, even in an anonymous survey, even when all these precautions are taking place, that they might not still feel comfortable with reporting. And that's okay, because everything is on their terms, and it should be.
I would completely agree with that.
Awesome. In what ways do you guys feel that maybe UK and, you know, other universities around the nation could improve on this issue? Like you said, there's always gonna be incidents, but how could we expand and you know, help students?
I really think that peer-to-peer advocacy programs are incredibly effective, particularly with things like sexual harassment. And especially in the relationships men have with other men, just calling out your friends when they're doing something that's degrading or could be harassment is an incredibly effective tool. It doesn't even have to be going into the details of structural power and everything. Just saying something as simple as like, hey, that's not cool, or don't say that sort of thing in front of me, can have an incredible impact on changing attitudes towards what is and is not sexual harassment and what is and is not acceptable behavior.
And that is something that ConnectEd and Green Dot seeks to do, to challenge those norms, to combat them and say, that's not okay, and that's not okay with me, and that shouldn't be okay with you, and that sort of thing. That's the whole point of interventions and of, you know, distract, delegate, direct, that sort of thing, is because they want to combat these issues. And I do think that campuses are trying to create new programs and to implement new trainings, but I'm not sure, you know, what comes next, that sort of thing.
Would you say more money may help the situation?
I definitely think in a lot of situations on campus, more money, more funding for programs like the VIP Center and that sort of thing, more money could always go a little farther.
And let's say a wizard came down and gave you a loan or, you know, just a grant for $1 million. What would be the first thing that you may do with that?
Well, that's what we have in front of us. That's what ConnectEd is this $1 million grant. And that is why, you know, my bosses need to be supported by national campaigns and national programs and also need to be supported here on campus by places like the Center for Research on Violence Against Women and that sort of thing, because this needs to happen. And there are people out there giving that money, but now you need to take the findings and move it forward and make sure that this is actually implemented.
Thanks, Kelsey. We touched on this earlier, but the events of this morning need to be addressed, especially since we have experts like both of you in the studio. Just this morning, we learned that sexual assault misconduct charges cost today's show host Matt Lauer his job. AP correspondent Warren Levinson reports not only are the charges shocking, but many viewers are reeling from the news.
Given the avalanche of sexual misconduct cases in public life, you wouldn't think people could still be
stunned.
Irene McAllister says the Matt Lauer firing leaves her feeling sorry for everybody involved.
He's an icon, and he's a family man, and he's it just seems like a great person, and it just, I'm stunned.
A memo from NBC News President Andrew Lack says the complaint he received about the Today Show host was the first he'd gotten about Lauer in 20 years, but had evidence that this was not an isolated incident. Co-host Savannah Guthrie was visibly shaken as she announced the firing. Warren Levinson, New York.
This incident raises so many questions. First, does such a national publicity traumatize survivors, or does it give them confidence to seek help?
I think that's a very personal question. I think a lot of survivors and advocates for survivors would say that these high-profile things can be incredibly empowering, and especially in the wave of sexual assault allegations where we are seeing actual results and consequences for these actions, can be very empowering. But I also know that for some survivors, this is an incredibly stressful and overwhelming time in which they have to take a break from the news and cut that part of the world off for a bit so they can focus on themselves.
It's all about what is comfortable for the survivor. If they feel comfortable then coming forward, that's great. If they don't feel comfortable and, like you said, they need to take a break from the news, that's great too. It's all about your personal story and what makes you the most comfortable.
Warren Levinson reported that many people may feel sorry for Matt Lauer. Could you maybe explain on that? Could you maybe add what your thoughts are when they say, oh, he's a family man?
I mean, I think that gut feeling, any person can experience that gut feeling when you only see this one side of a person for so long and you hold them in such a regard. And your first feeling is always that I don't want that to be true. But the important part is to step back and understand that people have different sides to them that they try and keep in the dark, that they try and hide, and understand that someone that you look up to and someone that you hold in high regards being exposed as having done wrong does not say that you are a bad person for originally liking this person, but it is instead that an issue of that individual. I know a lot of people can feel that it's a personal offense or somehow it says something about them that someone that they idolized has been accused of or has been shown to have committed such horrible deeds, but it's not personal. It's about that individual.
Does it surprise you that someone like Matt Lauer or Charlie Rose, someone with such a prominent and nice guy reputation, does it surprise you that this happened, this came out?
I would say it's disappointing, but ultimately not surprising, as most of these issues are. You know what they say about power is that power corrupts. And when you have such an untouchable persona, when you are loved by millions, there is so much that you can sweep under the rug. And that is an intoxicating thing. And it allows people to continue to perpetuate harm against others.
And now that more prominent people have not just been accused, but have suffered the consequences, do you think more who have been abused will come forward?
I think that more, if you can see that me speaking up will make a difference, there might be more people that come forward. But at the same time, there still is that stigma associated with, I have been a victim, and that's an extremely unfortunate truth, and people don't want to, and some people don't want to come forward because they don't want that associated with themselves. But it's all about, of course, again, I feel like we've said this multiple times, it's all about what the survivor wants, what they feel is the best thing for them. And I do think maybe more people will come forward, but it all just depends on the person. It depends on their personal preference.
Thanks. Another person perhaps more notorious is Hollywood producer Harvey Weinstein. As I mentioned earlier, at least 60 women have come forward to accuse him of abuse or harassment. Because of the statute of limitations, few, if any, will be able to prosecute him. However, former actress Canadian Noble says Harvey Weinstein lured her to his hotel room with the promise of a movie part. Now she's using a unique legal angle in her lawsuit against ex-movie mogul Harvey Weinstein. AP correspondent Rory Levenstein reports.
The story Katie and Noble related at a news conference is one that has become familiar.
I never thought I would ever be able to talk about this.
Noble says Harvey Weinstein assaulted her 3 years ago in a hotel room in Cannes.
I kept saying, like, no, and I just felt, like, so stupid.
The legal underpinning of her lawsuit is unique. The British actress is suing under an American sex trafficking law which bars sex for commercial purposes. The commerce in this case, a never-fulfilled promise that Weinstein get her into the movies. The disgraced former producer denies the charge. Warren Levinson, New York.
Also, the Directors Guild of America has confirmed that Weinstein is no longer on its board of directors. One member of the board said Weinstein stepped down before he could be forced off. Kelsey, in your work, how important is it survivors of abuse to get some sort of legal recourse?
Some sort of legal action?
Legal action, yeah. Sure.
I think, again, we've said this, it's all dependent upon you. If you don't want to go before a jury and say, and recount your abuse, and recount all this stuff that happened to you, that is a traumatizing experience. And if you don't want to do that, you don't have to do that. But everyone still, you know, needs to do what's best for them. If you just need to go to a counselor, just go to a counselor. If you want to prosecute, if that will make you feel more closure, it's all up to you.
Anything to add?
I mean, I would completely agree with that. I would hope that on a larger scale, more legal action will continue to set a tone and allow those who want to report and want to pursue legal action to have an easier time, because there is a lot of victim blaming and a lot of people who want to take legal action are strongly dissuaded from doing so. And so I hope in that regards that will increase that. But again, it's very personal.
Thanks, Zoe. Take Back the Night is a worldwide protest against sexual violence and violence against women. It began in the 70s after the murder of microbiologist Susan Alexander Spieth. Susan was stabbed to death while walking home alone. The marches happened across the country on college campuses to demand safety for women. UK holds their own Take Back the Night event. More information will come early in the spring semester. That's correct?
That is correct.
Okay, great. Is there anything else you'd like to add about Take Back Tonight?
I would just recommend that anyone who feels comfortable in participating go, even just to observe. It's an incredible event, and even though it's dealing with such a serious and often traumatic topic, the sense of community and support that you get from there can be incredible. I personally, my freshman year when I participated, went up and shared some experiences that I had on campus, and the affirmation I got from those in the crowd when I was struggling to find my words, telling me that it's okay and that I can take my time telling my experience, was incredible.
You can learn more on the VIP Center website at uky.edu/VIP Center. If you or someone you know is dealing with issues of sexual assault in their own life, call the free and confidential National Hotline for Sexual Assault. You can call 800-656-HOPE. UK students can report confidentiality through a variety of resources, including the VIP Center, UK Student Health, UK Behavioral Health, UK's Title IX office, or UK PD. Students should be aware not every report is confidential. Could you talk a little bit more about that, Zoe?
I do know for a fact that if you choose to go to the VIP Center to discuss your experience, it is completely up to you whether or not you file a formal report. However, when you go to, say, a TA or an instructor and talk about something that happened to you while you were on campus, they are legally required to report. I would definitely say that if you want to talk to someone about it but aren't sure if you want to go through the formal process, the best place to go would likely be the VIP center, where they can give you completely confidential advising and help you make the decision that's right for you.
Thank you, Zoe. That's all we have for tonight. I'd like to thank our guests, UK Connect Ed Research Coordinator Kelsey Rutherford and UK Junior Member of the Feminist Alliance, Zoe DePore. Thank you guys so much for coming. Thank you for tuning in tonight on Campus Voices. Please stay tuned for some more commercial-free programming on 88.1 WRFL FM, Lexington, Kentucky. I'm Michael Ayers.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to wrfl.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.